Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Living True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we're going to examine how our communication can calm people or actually trigger them. How our attachment styles impact every one of our relationships. We are people. We're one of a kind. We think differently than everyone on the planet. Yeah, sure, some of us actually think similarly to others, but not the exact same. The fact that we get along for the most part, don't have fights in every one of the streets, is really a testimonial to the fact that most of us actually try. We try to work to be positive, to get our point across in helpful ways. Yes, there are some of us who are not that helpful, to be quite honest with you, but however, for the most part, they're balanced out by the other part of our humanity. We also have a group we call empaths. We're also part of our society and our humanity. Many of you listening to my shows are empaths. You do care about other people, humans, animals, trees, plants, etc. And you show that on a day-to-day basis. Even an empath, though, can get confused by some choices of others, by their words, by their behaviors, and by their comments. So even though you're an empath, and I understand, sometimes it can be confusing what somebody really means based on the way that they respond. Because we might not be aware of why they're choosing to respond that way or choosing to not respond. So in today's episode of Living True Life Perspectives, I will be discussing how we can work to communicate in a more calming and more productive manner where others seem to understand where we're honestly coming from and they don't get confused. Let's begin by discussing some situations where we find that people's intentions really get lost in the shuffle and it turns into an argument or fight. How many of us have had that experience where, you know, we say something or do something and instead of the other person understanding, they instantaneously get argumentative, they run out and slam the door, they yell and scream, they give us the silent treatment, whatever it is, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, where did this happen? But I bet it's happened more often than not. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. And so our intention gets lost in the shuffle. And that's two reasons, right? It's two ply. It's because we're doing something that is triggering the other person to believe something is happening. The other person is programmed to get triggered that way. Perhaps we're triggering ourselves. All this is based on attachment styles, and we're going to talk about this in the show. So all of this is about attachment styles, and it's all very interesting because when we start breaking it down and we start understanding a little bit, we all start to realize that this is programming. And I know there's a lot of words out there and a lot of conditions, and people talk about a lot of personality disorders and all that. And as you get to know me, you know, we have to title videos on the YouTube, and we have to title our videos on our members-only website and that kind of stuff, you know, to get people's attention, but for them to understand the direction we're going. But sometimes I hate doing that because we're having to label a certain thing when I think that a lot of this stuff is based on programming. One caveat is I realize that, you know, a lot of arguments can get resolved very quickly. However, I realize that the longer an argument goes on, the longer time, the more damage it does to all the people involved. And we all know someone that hasn't spoke to a family member or friend for years. And as the years go by, the argument gets more and more vague, right? It's harder to figure out what the argument was. And the narratives on every side change, right? There's always a constant narrative on both sides. And why I use the word narrative is that we're programmed to believe certain things based on our past. We're programmed to accept or not accept things based on our historical reference. And people say, well, that's fact. What happened to me in the past is fact. Well, actually, it's not fact. It's just situations. It's just historical reference. When somebody treats you badly or tells you you're a bad person or puts you down, that's not a fact. That's not real. But it did happen in that situation. It did happen, but it doesn't mean that that should inspire you to change or augment. But it's hard to say that because as we're growing up, we're very impressionable and very young, and our environment, our upbringing, our genetic, or all that stuff creates and helps this attachment style, the way that we were raised, the way our parents treated us, the people that were around us. All these things are very important. And I find that people, when they have a grudge, they just want to defend their side. And it leads to that ultimate grudge that allows them to maintain that anger, that bitterness, and that ultimate resentment that is really hard to overcome. And I have friends, I have clients who have one of their family members doesn't speak to everybody else, or part of the family doesn't speak to the other part of the family. And there's all these issues, and everybody's walking on eggshells, and you can't talk about certain people in front of certain people. And some people haven't seen each other in 20 years, and you can't bring up their name. And it's unbelievable how many people have these long-term grudges. And so we don't want to get there, because I know that long-term grudges, even though people will defend them to their death, only create, you know, destruction and problems. And so definitely not something that we want to deal with. So let's begin to do a deep dive into some specific situations. And I wanted to start with one that I thought about the other day, when I was working with some clients and just getting some feedback. And one of the things that I found that's really challenging for people to be able to communicate properly is when somebody needs some space. When somebody feels like they need space, they need to process something, maybe they're stressed out, maybe they just need some space away from their significant other. And that can be really challenging to express, to get the other person to ultimately understand, and to get the other person to not take it personally. Now, it could be a personal thing in the fact that they need space from that person because of something that was said or done. But what I found is that when somebody needs space, a lot of times they're at their breaking point already. So they need the space. They're already at the breaking point. They're already upset. They're already angry. They lash out at the other person. I don't want to ever talk to you again. I hate you. Oh, my God. Whatever happens. And then the other person reacts and retaliates based on their programming, right? So it's and based on the way that they feel about what is just said to them in that moment. And I want you to think about triggers. So when we're talking about communication and we're talking about calming people or triggering them, when we're triggering people, a trigger goes back to kind of the beginning. We all go back to our historical reference. It's like a computer, right? It's like we have these downloads as we're young, and it creates the mainframe, and it creates, you know, the program and the software that we run our day-to-day life on, right? How we see things, how we talk to people, how we assume people talk about us, how we respond, the things that really set us off, the things that we like, the things we hate. All this is based on that, you know, that programming, and we can all begin to let go of that programming, but we got to understand where it begins. We have to understand where it begins. I'm not going to be able to go all the way back to that in this podcast today, but I'm going to help you to examine that so you can take this show with you, and you might want to listen to it a couple times and really work on finding those attachment styles and understanding better yet how that happens. So take, for example, somebody needs space. Okay, first off, the person that needs the space is probably not communicating it in the right positive or neutral way. And then the person that they're wanting to get space from probably has some triggers, whether that's an abandonment trigger where they're fearful that this person's going to leave them. Okay, if somebody's been abandoned before, if you've been abandoned by a parental unit, left to fend on your own, if mom or dad left at a young age. There's a lot of different abandonment situations that take place. And when somebody's been abandoned, the first thing that, you know, they're going to think when somebody needs space is, I want to leave you. This is over with. And so what does the person do that feels like the other person is going to abandon them? Well, there's multiple things. It's not one just set thing. But one option is to cling. One option is to beg. Please, please let me talk to you. Please. oh, God, please don't do this, please don't do that, and then calling for multiple numbers if the person's blocked them, doing whatever they can to get back in contact with that person, which creates more of havoc and problem on the other side, right? The person needs some space. They don't want somebody coming at them 110% trying to get their attention. Now, on the other hand, it could cause somebody to do the exact opposite. They're fearful of the abandonment. The person says they need space. The other person gets triggered, they go off the reservation, they block the other person because they don't want to deal with it, or they don't communicate, or they just stop communication, they go cold. And then the other person doesn't even know what's going on. And that can happen as well. Somebody can also spin out and just get into another relationship because they just don't want to deal with it. There's multiple things that happen. So you see, if somebody needs space, that's okay, but we have to be able to express what we're needing and how that's going to be facilitated. Right? And then it has to be expressed. And I'm not saying that you have to walk on eggshells and you got to think about everybody else's feelings. I'm just saying, if we want things to go smoothly, why is it that you want space and what does the space look like? How long does the space look like? And I know it's hard to sit there and say, I need 2 hours and 52 minutes to process this. Well, but I'm saying, you know, giving some sort of timeline is very helpful, especially if you're dealing with someone that has abandonment issues or attachment issues where they have fear. Now, remember, another trigger is neglect. You know, when somebody has been neglected as a child. And, you know, neglect is interesting because that can also prompt somebody to act differently as well. And also that fear can be prompted, that fear of loss, that fear of losing, that fear of being eliminated. All these things are important. So I wanted to bring up this concept of needing space. Because we can ask for, it's not like we're asking somebody for space. We are able to get things that we want. We are a free human being. However, if you are in a long-term relationship and you're wanting to work on this relationship, that's what this show is for. If this is someone that you just recently met and you don't really want anything to do with them, you realize that you are totally two different people and totally cool with moving on, then move on. But I'm talking about if you are a couple. And what I like to call in an argument type cycle, because we all have these argument cycles, okay, where we seem to always be arguing about the same thing, and we're probably also arguing in the same negative communication patterns that also stop our understanding or restrict our understanding and respect in a relationship. So I know that some of you say, well, hey, I'm not always like that. You know, I can have arguments or I can deal with certain things with other people, and I get it. You might be able to really process and be able to communicate with coworkers, for example. Maybe you're able to communicate better with friends than family. Maybe you're able to communicate with family better than you are your own spouse. There's someone that's able to push your buttons and trigger you more than other people. And that's what this show is about today. So think about that. And that's one good question is, who is it that doesn't trigger you? That's a great question, and that can be very helpful. But who is it that does trigger you? And those are things that we really want to think about as we walk into this conversation today. So when I return, we're going to be talking more about what I call attachment and how we attach as far as attachment styles. We're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about the argument cycle. What does your argument cycle look like? We all have one, and it doesn't show itself to every relationship. Remember, there's some relationships that you're able to communicate in better than others, and I think it's because of the emotional connection is not as tight, and that person is not as triggering as other people are in your life. So this is very important to think about. I hope this show can enlighten and help everybody that's going through this. I think we've all had arguments, and we've all wished we could have said things differently and been aware of where the other person was coming from. And hopefully we can shine some light on that in today's show. If you haven't already, check out my YouTube. Go to YouTube and search up Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. I put up new video content every week, and I hope you like it. Please share it with your family and friends. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Well, you know what? I'll be back this time in two shakes.
Why do you think bank presidents and jewelry store owners trust ADT to protect their homes and businesses? Because they feel safe, and you can too. How would you like to monitor your home from fire, floods, and yes, robberies without even being there right from your smartphone? That is peace of mind. You may even save money on your homeowner's insurance just by having an ADT system installed. And there's even a money-back guarantee. How about that? We guarantee 100% satisfaction. You have nothing to risk. Why do you think people who have so much to protect trust ADT? Because it works. Call right now for a free quote. We'll even give you a free gift for calling. So pick up your phone and call Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider, now.
800-818-0191. 800-818-0191. 800-818-0191. That's 800-818-0191.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save
money? Dr. Joel Wallach, a veterinary physician and founder of Youngevity, and I want to talk about kidney failure and high blood pressure. Kidney failure and high blood pressure are due to artery disease in the kidneys, not caused by cholesterol, but by eating fried foods and processed meats and oils and glutens. You got to give up all those bad foods and take the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack. Take our program, which we call the Ultimate Daily Classic Tablets. Take three of those twice a day per 100 pounds of body weight. That'll support healthy blood pressure and healthy blood flow through blocked arteries. And people who have not urinated in 10 years are on dialysis 6 days a week. After 2 weeks, they start urinating again. They drop their dialysis down to 3 days a week. And then after 25 years of being on dialysis because they did not want to have a kidney transplant, they're totally off of dialysis. Their doctors are scratching their head. How can that be? Well, that's because 95-98% of the time when people have kidney issues, guess what? It's really an artery issue. You'll be amazed. And this also helps the arteries in the brain when you have vascular dementia, coronary artery disease, and also in your legs and other places, including the kidneys. It's an amazing thing when you take this program.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's B-E-S-T-W-H-E-Y protein.net or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Treatment cycles are usually caused by negative communication patterns that restrict the understanding and, you know, obviously create a problem with the respect in the relationship. And if you've ever been around a couple that's fighting, usually you know that they're fighting and they have a tendency of how they fight, and how they fight is how they fight all the time. And if you're married and you've been married for quite a bit of time, I'm sure that there's some arguments that you've had as well. And I'm sure that the way that you argue is the way that you argue, and the way that they argue is the way that they argue, and it seems to not ever change. And what I mean by that is that somebody gets defensive. Somebody gets angry. What about the silent treatment? Somebody might be using that. They've used the silent treatment. Then you have folks that have a tendency of walking or running away. Maybe you have the person that's avoiding the fact that there's even an issue going on. You know, maybe you have somebody that you bring up one thing about emotions and they want to sock it down. They don't want to deal with it because that scares them. Maybe they respond back in a scared way, maybe in a childish way. Maybe they respond back with crying. All these are ways that people respond in arguments and fights and how that happens. And so I've realized that this all goes back to the concept of attachment styles. And that's what we're going to be talking about here in the next few minutes and in the next segment as well within this podcast and within this radio show. We're going to be talking about that because attachment styles are so interesting. And, you know, we hear people talking about all kinds of different things. And I don't hear attachment styles brought up enough. And I think that attachment styles are something that if you really want to well-verse yourself in relationships that you have currently, whether it's a family, a mom or dad or a brother or sister or a spouse or whoever or a best friend, and understanding those types of attachment styles can be really good. So we have four basic attachment styles that we're going to be talking about today and talking about what that looks like. And the first one that I want to talk about, and this is something that it's all relative too. I mean, you know, there's ebbs and flows, there's gray areas here. So, you know, when we talk about the four, you know, we have secure, we have anxious, we have avoidant, dismissive, we have avoidant, fearful. You know, we can also have, you know, variations of that as well. So let's talk about the secure first off. The secure attachment style. Is that people that have a secure attachment style, I mean, it is kind of how it sounds, right? It's, they can trust a lot easier than others, you know, whether they've worked through trust issues, you know, that they've dealt with trust issues. The same people might not have had a lot of trust issues or had to have a lot of trust issues as they were being raised because they didn't have to go through some of those same experiences. And some have worked on their trust issues, worked to really understand and see that they were triggered by trust issues, really work on developing and understanding their triggers with a therapist or, you know, or a coach to help them understand that. You got to dig deep in this. You know, another thing, too, about the secure attachment is that they can communicate more directly, and they can communicate what upsets them more directly in a way where they're kind of putting those words and using that, but also there's not all this emotion behind it and the fear that somebody's not going to understand them. And we're going to talk about that fear here in a bit because I think that's something that applies to many of us, is we might get passive aggressive or angry or scared because we feel that somebody's not going to pay attention or be supportive of us and our feelings. So stay tuned. There's a lot more to come. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host. Don't change the channel. With me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
What does a cause need? It needs supporters. What else does a cause need? It needs a plan. But what else does a cause need? It needs action. It needs awareness. It needs a creative spark. Wouldn't it be great to find all these aspects in one place? Have you checked out Art for Your Cause? Art for Your Cause is the one place you can do all this, create and ignite the spark. Go to artforyourcause.com/Ashley. That's artforyourcause.com/Ashley.
Ever notice that hearing and listening are not the same thing? The connection habit of giving your full attention is being completely present and mindfully listening to both the verbal and nonverbal communication you are receiving. It's an important skill for relationship success, and when you do it right, it feels like a gift to the other person. You can develop this and the other connection habits by downloading the Connection app for couples. To find out more, find our ad on ashleyburgess.com. Warning, practicing connection.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
USA Radio News.
Former Trump advisor Peter Navarro was arrested after trying to board a flight at an airport in Nashville. Per an unsealed court document, Navarro was indicted on charges of contempt of Congress after repeatedly defying the orders of the House committee investigating the January 6 riot.
President Biden cannot decide what our rights as Americans are. That's not the role of the executive branch. He's picking and choosing to basically try to take our Second Amendment rights away.
That was Representative Chuck Fleischman on Newsmax. His comments come after President Biden urged Congress to pass strict gun control laws. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You can see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. In today's show, I've been talking about communication and how we can communicate to calm or we can communicate to trigger people and how our attachment styles impact all of our relationships. And it's interesting, you know, all of us are different. We're all one of a kind.
You know, there are some folks on the planet that maybe understand us better than others. But, you know, honestly, we are the only ones that think exactly the way we think and feel the way that we feel. And so understanding that, we have to be able to communicate our feelings and emotions in a way that other people can understand and in a way that we're not triggering other people and their issues and fear. And right before the break, I was talking about how we have these argument cycles as couples and family dynamics. And how we can argue the same thing a lot of times or argue in the same manner. And it's usually that same negative communication pattern that gets in the way, right? Because we don't ever seem to get to solution. Instead, we kind of have this circular argumentation that restricts our understanding getting to some sort of conclusion and gets in the way of the respect and care in the relationship. So think about that. And so really, I asked a question earlier, and I'll ask it again. Who tends to trigger you more? Okay, out of everybody in your life, who is triggering you more? Think about that. Who has a tendency of getting under your skin and really upsetting you? And I think many of you might say a parent. Many of you will probably say your spouse. Many of you might say a brother or sister. So think about who that is. Identify that person at this time. And I want you to think about that style that you have. What is that communication, argument, communication style that you have? And I want you to really think about it. What is that style? And I would have to presume that for many of us, it's circular. One person argues, maybe one person kind of gets mad, maybe one person has a lot of usage of the F-bombs, maybe one person gets really closed off, right? And maybe they get closed off and you try to talk to them, they don't want to talk. Maybe they use the silent treatment and you start, you know, you're getting triggered to beg them to communicate. You know, maybe one of you gets defensive and very angry and very defensive, and so it scares the other person from communicating, or the other person just backs down because they don't want to generally deal with it. And then you have somebody that's very scared of conflict, and so they would rather, you know, placate because of the conflict. But in the situation of being scared of conflict, maybe they get resentful and they get fearful that you're not going to change or see their way, so they get passive aggressive, and then they get resentful. And that resentment buildup is challenging too, because eventually that resentment has to go somewhere, right? And that's the problem, is that it doesn't just build up and we put it away. It has to come out at some point. So usually when it comes out completely, some sort of dysfunction in that fact. And so we're trying to override that to do something that's more healthy, in realization here. And other people might walk or run away in an argument. Some people extremely avoidant. Scared. So some people get scared. Some people cry. And so right before the break, I began to talk about the attachment styles. And we have four main attachment styles. And, you know, this isn't all set in stone. And there's gray areas of everything. And there's reasons for all that. But these attachment styles are based on really how we were raised and the impact that our environment and the family members had upon us. And, you know, it started at a young age. And at a young age, this is the things that we dealt with. And this is how we began to process things and how we reacted to what was happening around us. You know, and when we look at secure attachment style, you know, that's the, somebody can be, fairly, give trust fairly easy, whether or not they have been gone through trust issues and had to rehabilitate, which is a very big possibility. Many of us have worked through it with a coach or a therapist or a minister, worked through the work to get over the trust issues from the past issues and be able to move on. And that's definitely a hallmark of the secure attachment style. They can also communicate what upsets them very well in a more direct manner, without feeling bad about it or scared about it, a lot better than the other attachment styles. And they're able to communicate that and not in effect of fear, because a lot of times we don't want to, you know, communicate what upsets us, right? Because we're fearful of how that'll impact someone else. Maybe it's hard for us to express what upsets us, because maybe we get super angry and we can't control our anger. And it's very hard. And there's folks out there that have a trouble controlling their anger. It's very hard for them. And so anger for some people is their first go-to emotion. And, you know, that can be very tricky, too, because if anger is your first emotion, the person that you're with probably has a very hard time communicating with you because out of fear of getting yelled at or hurt, you know. And so that's definitely something that needs to be processed and figured out, because anger should not be the go-to emotion, even though it is. Anger is the combination and culmination of a bunch of different feelings, right? It's a bunch of different emotions. It's just bundled up as into anger. You know, the secure attachment style, it's very cooperative. It's very flexible. You're having that flexibility. You're having that cooperative type environmental thought process as you make decisions or express how you feel. So it's not like, oh, I know that you're going to push this. You know, it's more like, okay, I think we can cooperate that, or I'll be flexible in certain things. And so we have a give and take that seems to be better, because we're not being triggered to feel like somebody's taking. We're seeing both sides of the equation. Let's move into the anxious attachment style. And so, you know, think about this. You know, when I'm talking about this stuff, just start thinking about how you feel. There's no labels. There's no right or wrongs. Okay. So anxious, you know, there's a tendency of you having a sensitive nervous system. You're a bit on edge. You're a bit edgy. There's a tendency to struggle with communicating your needs. You're in fear, you know, you're anxious to communicate your needs. You tend to act out a bit when triggered. And so, you know, that's always an interesting thing, is that, you know, there's a tendency of kind of acting out when as an anxious attachment style. And when we're anxious, and sometimes, you know, there could be also an anxious preoccupied attachment. So there's many different caveats here. But, you know, a person can experience anxiety in their relationships with the others in their lives. And, you know, it's interesting how when you look at the anxious attachment, there's some signs of it, right? You might be afraid of emotions. When you have an anxious attachment style, you might want to pull away when a person gets needy, right? So if you're an anxious attachment style and you're dealing with maybe somebody that's extremely codependent and extremely needy, that might repulse you, or you want to pull away because that scares you. That scares you. You can't deal with that. And so you might be better. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to reprogram ourselves, because in that sense, you might find yourself chasing after people that don't have the time of day for you, which we need to reprogram that, because you're trying to get their attention versus the person that seems to be needy. There's also a tendency of being independent, and not needing others. You know, the anxious attachment style might disregard other people's feelings sometimes, and this is not in stone. There's also a boundary issue. And what I found with a lot of these attachment styles, most of us don't have boundaries, right? We don't have boundaries in these relationships. And so by not having any boundaries, we have no frame of reference. We have no groundwork to really understand how to proceed. And this is very important for us to have. We need constant reassurance when we're anxious, right? We need somebody to constantly reassure us. Are we, you know, oh, I'm there for you, you know. And then there's a tendency of maybe being clingy and needy to some degree as well. And so that anxious attachment style, it's very real. And I feel like a lot of times, and this isn't set in stone, but a lot of times the anxious attachment style is based on inconsistent parenting, right? So the parent wasn't there all the time, or the parent was very, you know, argumentative, or wasn't there to really work through and to be there for the child, to understand their feelings, to be there through the thick and thin. And so there is this huge fear of rejection. There is this fear of abandonment. There is this clinginess in relationships. So you have all these things going on because you're worried that the person's going to leave you, right? So there's an inconsistency in parenting. A lot of people that have dealt with neglect from their parents may have the same style. And so coupled with that low self-esteem and that fear of rejection or abandonment, see, that's where this happens. And so this is very interesting why a lot of people go through a lot of different things in their life can be based on these attachment styles. So you see, if I'm in a relationship, right, and I have that fear of abandonment, when somebody walks out, for example, of an argument, when somebody decides that they're leaving and they slam the door and they get in the car, you know, someone with an anxious attachment style might run after them, right? Might run after them. you know, begging to get the person to come back in. That's creating that fear of abandonment, right? And so the last thing we want to do when we're dealing with someone with an anxious attachment style is to run out of an argument. Now, I'm not saying to stay in the argument and get hurt or get hit or anything like that. You know, you need to be in a safe place, but it would be like a, hey, time out. I don't want to leave because I don't want to leave, but, you know, we're going to need to calm down a little bit. Let's start talking about this in a rational way so that we can both communicate what we need to communicate. And that's a good example of a kind of an anxious attachment style in an argument and what can happen. The next style that I really want to focus on is avoidant dismissive. And avoidant dismissive is very interesting in the fact that it's very different. It's very different in the anxious attachment style is that there's a tendency to downplay the importance of relationships. Very self-reliant, which is a big thing. You know, one of the things, too, is that there's a kind of an independence to an extreme. You know, not asking for help. There's a lot of boundaries. And then there's a lot of kind of withdrawing. You know, from those types of feelings. And so it can be very interesting, you know, when you're dealing with somebody that has this attachment style. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we go back to the, you know, to the situation of the parent dynamic. And when you look at that attachment style, you're avoiding emotional closeness a lot of times in relationships. You know, and sometimes, too, you can see somebody that's in a relationship with you as being clingy when all they actually want is to be emotionally close. There's a tendency in this type of attachment style to suppress emotions. You know, there's a tendency of suppressing negative memories, acting like they don't exist, fearing rejection, having the strong sense of independence, having a high self-esteem. And not thinking that other people, and thinking also that other people see you as that too as well, and might having a negative view of others, but also being kind of focused on oneself a bit. But it's interesting because as the avoidant, you know, there's a tendency of dismissing, you know, other people's feelings and stuff like that, but also there's a tendency of dismissing your own feelings to some degree, but also avoiding the intimacy. And so if you're in a relationship with someone that carries on this attachment style, when you're having an argument, they might not see the reason why, they might put you off, they might not get deeply involved in the conversation, they might make fun of, they might not even listen. So there's some tendencies there that can be challenging. It can be absolutely triggering as well. And it's interesting when we look at all these things, and all this goes back to, you know, childhood. All this goes back to the way that people were raised. Because if that's the case and you were dealing with somebody with this attachment style, they might have been raised by someone that had didn't really support their child very well. The parent might have not had a lot of empathy. The parent might have felt very overwhelmed by parenting responsibilities, right? So they weren't really a parent. They weren't really committed. And they might have had an avoidant attachment style themselves. So this is very important how, you know, there's a tendency of this kind of, you know, the apple not falling far from the tree. There's one more attachment style that I want to talk about. And that one is fearful avoidant attachment. And, you know, the fearful avoidant attachment is a pattern of behaviors and relationship that is marked by both high anxiety and a high avoidance, where the person craves the connection but also fears getting too close to anyone. It could also be known as disorganized attachment, and it's one of the rarest of the four attachment styles, by the way, and so that's very interesting in and of its own. And it's considered to be the combination of the anxious attachment and the avoidant attachment. So, you know, people with anxious attachment are constantly seeking more intimacy and reassurance in their relationships, and they can come off needy. But the fearful avoidant attachment style involves kind of the combination of both of those, feeling anxious for affection and avoiding it at all costs, right? So it's like it's kind of the push and pull. And so some of the common behaviors there is the fear of intimacy, the fear of relationships in general, avoiding commitments and relationships, having that high anxiety, having a negative view of themselves, feeling underdeserved, to have a healthy relationship, so a lot of folks don't feel like they're worthy of having a good relationship, and so see how that's counterproductive. They feel like they're not worthy, and therefore they kind of sabotage themselves from having a healthy relationship because they keep creating that question in their own mind, which leads to them questioning the relationship, which usually gets involved with them sabotaging the relationship or finding people that they cannot be in a relationship with that is a healthy relationship. They have a tendency of responding poorly or inappropriately to negative emotions because they can't process that or have trouble processing it, perceiving other people and their support as negative. And so there's lots of different things that we can look at, and we need to go to break here in a second, but you see how these attachment styles would directly impact any sort of conversation or argument, and that's why I really wanted to touch on these attachment styles, because these directly impact the way that we process anything that we're dealing with, the way we process and the way we understand things. It's so powerful, and it goes back to the way we were raised, back to the people that raised us, and back into the environment of how we kind of got into this. So stay tuned. I have a little bit more left. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we've been talking about communicating in a way that we can calm and rationalize and just be ourselves, or we can trigger people in a way that can be overwhelming to them as well. And other people can trigger us, right? It's not a one-way street, so this goes both ways. And, you know, I've been talking a bit about attachment styles and understanding those attachment styles and how those attachment styles directly relate to how we argue and directly relate to our argument cycles and the way that we do things and how we communicate and our communication patterns. Because when you think about it, when you look at all these attachment styles, right, and you kind of look at it, it makes sense that if somebody's anxious, they're going to respond a certain way. It makes sense that if somebody's avoidant, they're not going to respond a certain way. Somebody's dismissive, right? They're going to dismiss the situation. If somebody's avoidant and they're fearful, what that's going to lead to, and that high anxiety and how that high anxiety is processed in an argument. So I just want you to kind of sit with that for a little bit. And, you know, if you're in a long-term relationship or in a relationship right now, it could be really good to kind of sit with your thoughts and maybe process some about the other person as well to understand a little bit better, because there's some things that probably just really set them off. And when we can begin to understand what sets someone off, we can begin to stop setting them off, but we can also understand maybe some of the things that we might be doing that's contributing to those factors. And that's very powerful to understand and very powerful to learn. And so think about that. Think about some of the situations recently, perhaps, that you've dealt with. And one of the things that I find that's interesting, too, is that we have that tendency of sometimes going passive-aggressive or getting angry or getting silent because we feel as though other people are not going to listen or care about what we feel or think. And that's a defense mechanism. And I want you to think about those defense mechanisms. So the next time that you get quiet, or the next time that you get passive aggressive, or the next time you give the silent treatment, or the next time you start yelling at the top of your lungs, stop. What am I doing this for? Why do I feel that this person is not going to listen to me if I try to articulate how I feel in a neutral way? And it's hard. This is not easy stuff, but this is the way we begin, right? So when you start feeling passive aggressive, you start acting passive aggressive, you start feeling like you need to, or you start feeling resentful, or you're starting to be in fear of having an argument, or you're starting to get anxious, where is this coming from? This is a guidepost, okay? This is a guidepost for us to understand that we're about to go into this program. Right? These are all indications that we're about to go into a lifelong program that we can begin to change, but we can't change it overnight, right? We have to work at it. It's consistency. And I want you to catch that. Why is it that I get super angry? Do I get super angry at this person because I feel like they're never going to listen to me? And does that go back to this particular person, or does this go back to childhood? Does this go back to mom and dad? Where did this begin? And these are very important things to think about, very powerful and very important things to think about, because we can really begin to understand ourselves better. We can begin to create more calmness in our own mind and create even better, healthier mental health for ourselves. But we can also create a more favorable environment for the other people around us and be able to have conversations that don't have to be arguments, where we can solve things instead of going back around in a circle arguing the same thing and getting nowhere. Because when we're holding on to these programs and we're holding on to them based on our attachment styles, you know, it's like oil and water. It just doesn't work. And so sometimes we have to morph and change to be able to get things to work for the best for all of us concerned. And those are things that I want you to think about when you get a chance. Starting a journal is very helpful. Do some research on some attachment styles. You can go online and research attachment styles and Google up all kinds of things. You can Google up secure attachment, anxious attachment, you know, avoidant fearful, avoidant dismissive. You know, look up that stuff. Analyze it. Take a quiz. There's multiple quizzes online. I have a video on attachment styles on YouTube as well. And you can look up that video. Just go to YouTube and go to Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. We have new video content out every week, sometimes multiple times a week, as well as the podcast and the radio show is housed on YouTube as well, so you can check it out there. And it helps you to really understand yourself. And if you'd like to work with me, you can always reach out. If I have availability, I would love to work with you. And it would be a very powerful situation. It would help to get to that place of full personal understanding where we can understand and we're able to not only understand ourselves, we're able to articulate our feelings to others in a very helpful, positive way. I hope this show has helped. Please share this show with your family and friends. And it's interesting because I feel once we get to know ourselves even better and better, we can not only understand our feelings and thoughts, but we can also be able to present those thoughts and feelings in a way that other people can understand and respond without triggering them as well. See you next week. Live Your True Life Perspectives. With me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Well, you know, this time, I'll be back this time in three shakes.
It is something different to experience with friends, family, or coworkers. How about the world of whiskey? Jeff Borker here from the Classic Dram. And we know whiskey can be a bit intimidating at first. But with the right guidance, it's a blast to explore. Let us put together an expert-certified whiskey event for your group, and we don't even have to be in the same room to do it. Regardless of your whiskey experience, we can organize and lead your group through a virtual whiskey tasting right in our very own Zoom online speakeasy. Now, these events are great for birthdays, anniversaries, or corporate get-togethers, or just celebrating time with friends. Now, a number of packages are available, and we can customize the experience just for you. Visit us today at theclassicdram.com, or shoot us an email at info@theclassicdram.com. Let 2022 mark the start of your personal whiskey journey, and remember, come for the spirits and stay for the experience.